Father, I thank you for this princess. Lord, I thank you that you love her, that you've been speaking to her, that you've got a message for us, Father. And I pray that we will hear you. Lord, I pray for our hearts to be fertile soil this morning, Lord, that what you plant will grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't mess up.
His parting words to me, which you might not have heard at the back, were, don't mess this up. So, no pressure. No pressure. What a wonderful start to this service. And I love the scripture that Jude read, and it's kind of set up this talk and what God has placed on my heart for us as a church. So there are a few people that are visiting. So I just want to bring you up to speed with what we've been doing over the last few weeks. We have been looking at a scripture in Psalm 46, verse 10, which says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted above the earth. I will be exalted above the nations. And we're responding to this because we believe that God has put this word, this message on our hearts as a church for us to really take seriously, because we believe that God wants to make himself known to us in greater measure. And so we find ourselves in this season where we are being invited to take hold of a command to be still. And that really looks quite different for each of us. And how we're responding to that is different. But it's been really encouraging to hear that people are experiencing different levels and different parts of God's character as they slow down and as they rest and as they make time for his presence. So Guy spoke on the first bit, be still. And that was very much about obedience. We have to obey. If we want to encounter a greater measure of God's love, if we want to know the fullness of Jesus, then we have to be still in our mind, heart, body, and soul. Then a few weeks ago, we looked at the word and, which was about anticipation. As we still ourselves, are we anticipating God to step into that moment, to fill that moment with his thoughts and his agenda? And then we find ourselves sitting with the word know today. And this is K-N-O-W, know that I am God. It's the middle of the first part of that verse. And today I just want to open up the word experience. A few weeks ago when I was talking about and, I looked at the authorship of Psalm 46, that it was written by the sons of Korah. And we looked a little bit about their past and God delivering them and restoring them into a people, a godly people again. And the Korahites, they had an interesting story. Their hearts were really one of worship. And Psalm 46 reflects another story that we can find in Chronicles. And so I just want to share a little bit about this because it's important that we get the context of Be Still and Know That I Am God right, because we can pull verses out and we can wrap them around our own culture and our own lives without really understanding the source. And so this is God speaking to through the sons of Korah, but it's based on a story that we can find in Chronicles. There was a king called Jehoshaphat. Good morning. Around 890 BC, he was the king of Judah. And he had heard that the... bear with me 1 minute. That a whole bunch of people ending in ites were wanting to wage war on him. Here they are. I lost it in my notes. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites were coming to wage war on Judah. So as king, he is waiting. They're on their way. And so as a godly man, he decides to gather the men and women and children of Judah to come and to fast and to pray and to seek God in this time. And as they do, as they're in this moment of worship and prayer and fasting, the Spirit of the Lord came upon a guy called Jehaziel. And he says this to the king and to the men and women that are gathered. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the path of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeril. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Korathites and the Korites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And here we see this relationship between obedience, between command and promise, between obedience and blessing. The people of Judah, they were commanded to march down. So they had to go, they had to face the enemy. They were told to take up positions, stand firm and see deliverance. That was the command. March down, take up positions, stand firm, see deliverance. And twice they are told, do not be afraid or discouraged. And in return, God promised to be with them and to fight on their behalf, because this was not their battle, it was the Lord. So in the midst of war, God desired for his people to experience his deliverance, his strength and power. Essentially, they had to be still. They had to stop, they had to be still, listen, stand firm and obey. And this is the context of Psalm 46, it's one of war. How much faith and trust would it have required for King Jehoshaphat to send out the army and just to stand, to take up positions? And their faith looked like worship. As their praise increased, the worshippers went out ahead of the army. It was the worshippers who went first. They worshipped their way into battle. And as we read in Chronicles, God had gone before them and he had sent, set up ambush after ambush. And what happened was, as the army of Judah went and surveyed the land, there were just dead bodies strewn everywhere. And the enemies had turned upon each other and there was nothing left. They had annihilated one another. So the verse of this season, be still and know that I am God, it carries the same condition and it carries the same promise. His presence is conditional upon our obedience. And blessings certainly follow obedience. I don't know, Guy and I don't know how that's going to look for us as a church as we continue to still ourselves. But we do know that he is giving us as a church a heart to know him in greater measure. And it's at this point in the talk that I'm really grateful to discover that our understanding, the English word know, is very limited in its expression and its substance. The Hebrew word for know is yada. Yada. And it's just saturated in meaning. And I've just taken a few examples. There are many, many. It's just the breadth of the word yada is huge. But here are just some. You might not be able to see it. I'll read it out. To perceive, to distinguish, to recognize, experience, to consider, to confess, to find out, to discover, to be skillful in, to be acquainted with, to be known, and to make oneself known. Be still and know that I'm God is essentially an invitation to yoda, the experienced nature, the experienced character of God. Yoda, it's about experience. And so when the Greek interpretation of, when the Bible was interpreted and translated into Greek, the Greek word for yoda really stripped much of the experiential dynamic from the word, because there wasn't a word that existed that was close enough to carry and to hold the breadth of meaning that yoda does. And so the closest that the Greek language could get to was ginosko. And that sits on the intellectual side rather than the experiential side. And then we took no from ginosko, and that's how we know no. Throughout the Old Testament, we read many times over, God say to a people group, to a nation, or to individuals, do this or that, then you will know that I am the Lord. Then they will know I am the Lord. Moses would yoda that God was the great deliverer. The Egyptians would yoda, they would know the wrath of God. To Moses again, he would yoda the power of God. For the Gentiles, they would yoda the invitation of a loving father. The Israelites would yoda the mercy of God. And upon repentance, Judah would yoda the redemption and favor of God. When God asks us to be still and yoda, he's saying, be still and experience a greater measure of my character. It's not just about knowledge. It's not just about knowing from what we perceive around us and see in other people's lives. It's a personal, intimate relationship with Father God. And throughout the Bible, there are hundreds more examples of God saying, then you will experience me. In Jeremiah 24:7, God speaks about the exiles from Judah who had spread out during the exile, that he would gather them, that he would watch over them, and that he would bring them back to the land of promise. And he says about them, I will give them a heart to know I am the Lord. I will give them a heart to experience me as God, their Father, their Deliverer, their Restorer. And over the last year, maybe a little bit longer, on and off, I just keep waking up to Psalm 51:10, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a pure heart. This is the bestowing of a gift from supernatural source. No one else can create in us a pure heart. Our heart is hidden away. It's fed on the things that we see and we hear, the things that we think about is feeding our heart. Nothing else can create a pure heart apart from God Almighty. And he gives us a heart. He creates a pure heart in him that we would experience. He creates a pure heart in us that we would experience a greater measure of his character and his nature. Spurgeon wrote this about the sinner and God tending to this sinful heart. He visits him in grace and renews the fountain of his strength and the center of his nature by giving him a new heart and a right spirit. God visits him in grace and renews the fountain of his strength and the center of his nature by giving him a new heart and a right spirit. God longs for us to know him and to experience him. And when we yada God, when he creates something new within us, we experience both his power and his grace, his forgiveness alongside his mercy, his righteousness alongside compassion and truth. The more that we encounter God personally, the more connections we start to make of his nature. And I found this illustration, let me just click through, of knowledge and experience. And I want to talk a bit about a man named Saul. He was renamed later when he had encountered Jesus to Paul, and Paul went on to write many of the letters that make up the New Testament. Saul, he was exemplary. He knew the Jewish tradition, religion inside out. He was the best. Those that taught him had high hopes. He was exemplary. He knew the religion and the law inside out. And his life before meeting Jesus is the box on the left. It's knowledge. He knew facts. And then he had this incredible encounter with Jesus. And it was there that his repentance was met with forgiveness. And his weakness was substituted by God's strength. His foolishness was replaced by godly wisdom. And his sinfulness was illuminated by the righteousness of God. He experienced the presence and the power of God. And so his experience was starting to make connections and to form connections with the Father. That's how we develop relationship. Many of us will read in the Bible that God is love. But until you've received his grace personally, do we start to form connections between love, forgiveness, grace, freedom, and truth? Many of us would know God is love, but until you've experienced his justice, can you start to form connections between his love, compassion, mercy, liberty, and his heart for unity? There is so much of God for us to yoda. There is so much. His character can't be boxed up, and his characteristics shouldn't be floating around unconnectedly. That's just factual. He desires and he requires more of us and of our hearts. And so throughout the Old Testament, it's a love story of God just raising up a covenant people through whom he could express himself, the fullness of himself. And he does this through the person of Jesus, his son. And then it's at the cross that the fullness of God's character was realized and revealed. Jesus came to reveal the Father. And so through him and him alone can we experience the fullness of God with the veil now lifted. Let me read from 2 Corinthians. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate or behold the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. See, at the moment on earth, we're just having tasters of heaven. We're having tasters of glory. But one day we'll experience the feast, the entirety. But God loves us so much, he's just constantly giving us these little morsels of his glory and of his person for us to sustain us and to develop us into the likeness of Jesus. And this is important. The more that we experience God, the more we know who he is, and the more we know who he is not. So in the absence of yoda, in the absence of a yoda experience and relationship with God, we start to construct an image of God that is not true. It could be fueled by our disappointments with him or those around us, our anger towards him, our deficiency of him, the guilt and shame that present a veil before him. And then we distance ourselves. The one that creates a new heart has been pushed away. And in that moment, when we construct an idea of God that isn't true, we're perceiving him from the perspective of a broken heart and not from yoda, not from a divine stepping into our pain and revealing much more of himself. And ultimately, the people in this town who we are longing to see renewed and restored and to encounter Jesus, maybe they've constructed a person of God that isn't true because of the condition of their heart. So the heart is so important. In Numbers 23 and also in Samuel, it says the same thing. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? God does not change his counsels or purposes as we change ours. He does not speak for those words to be void of power and accomplishment. He speaks, he promises, and he always fulfills. That is the God. That is the God that we are to yoda. We will learn, we will discover, perceive, confess, and profess then who he really is. Yoda establishes who God is and who he is not. And we want to just set some time aside now before we partake in communion to just yoda. And it can't be rushed. And so we just want to give time for our hearts to be still. And as I was reading about who God is not, that might have pierced some hearts here. It might just be the Holy Spirit is just convicting you and establishing truth in your heart. He is not a man that he should lie, and he doesn't change his mind as we change ours. And he never speaks for those words to be empty. When he speaks, when he promises, he always fulfills. Just close your eyes if you want to join in with this prayer. We're just going to allow some time and some silence for us to encounter, to yoda, to experience, to replace intellectual thought with an encounter with the living God. Create in us a pure heart, Father God. Renew a steadfast spirit within us, that we would stand, that we would remain. Believe that the Lord would just use today as an opportunity, as a significant moment on Father's Day, but to restore and to renew a steadfast spirit within the men of this church. And that's not to say he's taking away anything from us women, but God was at work during the worship, and it was a joy to hear the men sing over this church. And I just have a sense that it's not to end there, but it's to continue. Men of faith, rise up and sing. Father God, would you, through your Holy Spirit, rest upon the men in this church? Would you create something new in them today? Would you purify their hearts? And would each of them know your constant presence, your promise, where restoration needs to take place, Father God? Through your grace and mercy, would you take hold of these hearts and bring restoration? May it be their steadfast spirits that is noticed by those around them. That their influence would increase through a steadfastness in you, in your love, in your promise and purpose.